Golden State Media Concepts bring you Book Review Podcast, a haven for bookworms of all ages and the widest genres, from mystery to memoirs, romance to comedy, fantasy to sci-fi. If you love to read, this is the podcast for you. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Book Review Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Sarah, and I am happy to be hanging out with you on this very rainy Tuesday. It's very rainy here. It might be very snowy where you are because the rest of the country is being dumped on by snow. We just have a ton of rain, which is causing leaks. And yesterday, something happened in our house. Our dog encountered a skunk. I don't know. Maybe not. I mean, the dog didn't really smell like it encountered a skunk. I mean, there's a skunk smell, but I was able to give him a bath and scrub him about six times, and he's good. But the house smells like, I don't know, the skunk rolled in diesel fuel and ate a bunch of cabbage and then came in and rolled around on all the carpets. I don't know. If you've ever had this experience, let me know, because we have been battling the olfactory nightmare, as I've taken to calling it, for the last 2 days, and it's really disgusting. So that's what's going on in my life. I hope that even if you are buried under snow, you don't have an olfactory nightmare, and that the snow isn't causing too many problems. At any rate, enough of a weather report and my strange life. I'm happy to be here with you for another interview. Today I am interviewing author Jana Richards. She is a multi-genre author, and we are talking about one of her contemporary romances today. She also writes paranormal romance and historical romance. She has a broad range of different genres that she likes to write in, all in the romance genre, but with all of the sub-genres in there. Today, as I said, we are talking about contemporary romance and the first book in her Masonville series. Masonville is a small town in North Dakota, and this is the first in the series. Let me give you the description of that book. Lauren didn't intend to sleep with her brother-in-law, Cole, on the day of her husband's funeral. But now that she is pregnant, she's not sorry. Cole's given her a baby, a long-wished-for miracle. He's been her friend forever, though she never told him or anyone else how unhappy her marriage to his cheating brother was. And she's afraid to tell the small town that considered her husband a hero that the baby isn't his. Cole's been in love with Lauren since he was 16. It kills him that everyone believes the baby is his dead brother's. All he wants is to claim the baby and Lauren as his own. Though she marries him, will Lauren's heart ever be his? Lauren must tell the truth or risk losing Cole. Is her newly discovered love for him greater than her fear of scandal in her hometown? Now, if you've never lived in a hometown, you might be thinking, eh, what's the big deal? Who cares? If you have lived in a small town, you know exactly what's going on, because you know that people are going to be talking about you. My hometown is about 1,000 people, and the Masonville is a fictional town in North Dakota, just outside of Bismarck, and it's about 5,000 or 6,000 people. So compared to my hometown, it's big, right? You know, it's a metropolis. but it's still very small, and people talk. I can still tell you all of the so-called scandals that happened in my hometown. Were they true? Probably. Some of them. Were they exaggerated? Oh, yeah. Were they passed around and chewed over and talked about and just not let go? Yeah, definitely. So having any kind of unusual situation in a small town is cause for gossip, and this book is no different. So I knew going into this that was going to be kind of a fun part for me, living those small town experiences as I read Lauren's and Cole's story. I really enjoyed that aspect of it. In some ways, the smallness of the town almost becomes another character, the character of the gossip mill and the cattiness and just everything that goes on. And if you've ever been involved in either side of that, either the gossipies or the gossipers in a small town, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. But even if you don't, this is still a fun contemporary romance, and you should read it even if you don't understand the weirdness of living in a small town. You should read this and get an idea of how happy you are that you did not grow up in that environment where everybody talks about everything and they know everything about you. Even if you don't know, I go home to my hometown to visit my parents and people I have never even met because my parents own the movie theater. My parents, and my brother works at the grocery store. My dad worked at the school for years. He was the K-12 librarian. Everybody knows my family. And so then they think they know me. They're like, oh yeah, you're that. You belong to that family. And then they think they know all these things. It's quite the adventure. I'm standing there going, who are you? And why do you think you know me? But the book is called Child of Mine. Did I ever mention that? I said it was the first in the Masonville series. It's Child of Mine by Jana Richards. And we're going to go ahead and get to that interview. Before we get to that interview, two things. One, I have copies of this book to give away, so stay tuned to the end of this interview to find out how you can win a copy of Child of Mine by Jana Richards. Two, there's some places in the interview where the audio is a little funky. I didn't notice it when Jana and I were talking, but I don't know. I'm going to blame the polar vortex. Are we still in the polar vortex? I'm still going to blame it. I'm going to blame the polar vortex because Jana is in Canada and I am in California, so I'm just deciding that the signal got scrambled through all the snow, and there's a few places where the audio is a little funky, so I'm just going to warn you of that. I did what I could to tone it down, temper it, but I wasn't able to get rid of it altogether, so just be warned, but if you could just stick with it, it's only in a few places, and Jana's a lot of fun, so you definitely want to check out the interview. And I'm going to stop talking now and let Jana do the talking. So here we go with my interview with Jana Richards about her first book in the Masonville series, Child of Mine.
Hi, Jana. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Glad
to be here. Wonderful. It's wonderful to have you here, and we are here to talk about your newest book, Child of Mine. Before we get to the book, I'd love for my listeners just to get to know you a little bit. So if you could share a little something about yourself.
Well, I've been writing for a number of years. I've got about 18 books published now. I ventured into self-publishing last year for the first time, so I have 4 self-published books and about 14 books with other publishers. I love romance. I love the message of romance. And I guess it's writing is something that feeds my creativity, and I just enjoy it very much.
Great. Thank you. So let's go ahead and talk about Child of Mine. Can you tell us a little bit about the story?
Well, I love a friends to lovers story, and I wanted to write one with just a bit of a twist. Lauren and Cole have been friends since high school, and even after Lauren marries Cole's brother, Billy, and moves away from North Dakota, they remain friends. But what Lauren doesn't realize is that Cole's always been in love with her. He was too shy and too unsure as a teenager to tell her how he felt, and then once she married his brother, of course, he couldn't go there at all. But he's never stopped loving her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so what was your – you said you've always wanted to write a friends to lovers story. What was your inspiration for this particular story?
I don't know. I think I wanted to show – this is a series, so I wanted to show everyone in the series having to overcome some kind of trauma or heartache in their past. And for these people, it's the heartache of, well, for Cole anyway, it's the heartache of unrequited love. And for Lauren, it's the heartache of a marriage that didn't work out for her. It wasn't what she had hoped or thought it was going to be. So, and I also wanted to show that, you know, you can make mistakes, things can go wrong, but it's never too late to start over again either. It's never too late to create the life that you want with the person you want to be with. You just have to have the courage to do it. And I really like to give readers that kind of message of hope in books. Okay. It's never too late.
Okay, thank you. And so talk a little bit more about the main characters of Lauren and Cole. What about them do you think might resonate with readers?
Well, they're both hiding truths. They're both hiding things from themselves, from each other, from the people around them. Just like most people do, we hide things that are unpleasant. Cole, of course, is hiding the fact that he's loved Lauren forever. Because he thinks he can never live up to his brother. He's compared himself to his brother all his life and feels he comes up short. His brother was a hockey star and sort of a hero in this small town. And he doesn't feel he can live up to him. And Lauren is hiding the truth about her marriage, her 5-year marriage to Cole's brother. Billy cheated on her almost from the beginning of their marriage. And she was on the brink of leaving him when he's killed in a car accident. They're both hiding the truth about Lauren's baby. Everyone thinks her dead husband is the baby's father. And that Cole marries her, you know, just to help her out, you know, being a good brother or something. I don't know. But just to help. No, that doesn't sound right. he's doing it out of the goodness of his heart. But she's too humiliated to tell everyone that her family and her small town, that her baby was conceived on the day of her husband's funeral, on the day that she turned to Cole for comfort. And out of their grief, this baby was conceived. And Cole tries to hide the fact that how much it hurts him that she won't acknowledge that he's the baby's father.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of hiding going around, and until they can bring everything out into the open, they don't have a chance.
So
there is your introduction to Child of Mine by Jana Richards. We do have to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about that small town aspect of the setting of Masonville. So stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, and I will be right back.
Still on the search of that one true love? On the limbo in this crazy world of dating, marriage, relationships? Well, listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Relationship Podcast, your one-stop podcast for everything about relationships.
Welcome back to the GSMC Book Review Podcast and my interview with author Jana Richards about her book, Child of Mine. We are now going to talk about the kind of character of Masonville, that small town aspect of this book. So let's go ahead and get back to that interview.
And another aspect of the book is that it takes place in a fairly small town in North Dakota. So can you talk a little bit about your decision to set the book there, especially being a small town?
Yeah, well, I've grown up in small towns, or I've lived in small towns. I grew up actually on a farm in just north of North Dakota on the other side of the 49th parallel in Saskatchewan, Canada. I grew up, the small town that I went to school with was like 700 people at the time. And I've lived in small cities that were around the size that I imagine Masonville to be, which was around 5,000 people. And there's a real dynamic. I think I understand the dynamic of that kind of town and small town living. Saskatchewan, my home province, shares some of the same kind of Dogwood, North Dakota, and we live on the wide open prairie with cold, cold winters like it is today, and hot, hot summers. And that kind of harsh climate means people tend to look out for each other in small towns on both sides of the border. I was just going to say, because I remember living in a small town, I live in a city now, a fairly large city, but I will never forget living in a small town and what that's like. And I definitely could think about how Lauren would feel if she finds herself pregnant, not exactly the way she hoped to be pregnant, you know what I mean? She would find herself very kind of embarrassed, humiliated, because she's not pregnant with her husband's child. And, you know, that in a small town, that would be pretty hard to have.
And it's not hidden, because she, as often happens in small towns, the grapevine, the gossip, pretty much goes like wildfire, and her pregnancy is announced before she is even ready to have it announced.
Yes, yes, it is. It is announced before she's ready for it, for sure.
Yeah.
But they don't tell anybody. Everybody just sort of assumes that it's her dead husband's baby. Nobody imagines that it could be Cold's child. So
right.
they get away with it for a while. They get away
right.
with it for a while. But they can't fool themselves.
Oh, I'm sorry?
But they can't fool themselves.
Right, right. You see, you've mentioned that that North Dakota is similar to where you grew up. Are there autobiographical elements in this story or the characters besides, you know, you grew up in small towns, it's set in a small town?
Well, I can remember, you know, what it's like. You know, to be how impossible it is to hide anything. You know, that was sort of one of the things that ran through my head, I think, while I was writing this. And I'll give you an example. When we lived in this small town in Saskatchewan, my husband was away on business, and I was at home with our two young girls. They were in school, and I forgot to set the alarm one morning, and I woke up in a panic in the morning, thinking that I was totally late. We were going to be late for school, and so I got the girls out of bed and, you know, rushed them to school, you know, made them eat their cereal really fast and rushed them to school. And I got there and there's nobody there. And it's like, oh my gosh, it was only about 7:30. I was totally off, totally off. I slinked home in my car and, you know, we went home and watched cartoons for an hour or so until it really was time to go. And then later that morning, I got a call from my daughter's kindergarten teacher, and she said, somebody saw you at school early this morning, and we're just wondering if everything's okay.
Oh, no.
It's like, oh, yeah, everything's okay. I had to explain to her, you know, I'm just an idiot. I can't tell time. But you can't be anonymous in a small town. Even your car
right.
can't be anonymous in a small town.
Exactly.
So it was that kind of feeling that, you know, no matter what you do, someone's going to notice you. Someone's going to take notice of what you do. That was the sort of feeling I went with in this book. But there's also the other side, the flip side of living in a small town, where if you're in trouble, there's people there who will look out for you. You know, you can count on someone to help you out because they know you. So,
mm-hmm.
So there's that too. It's not all terrible. It's actually living in a small town can be pretty wonderful too.
Yeah. Did you do any particular research for the book?
Well, one of the research things I did was on veterinary medicine because in a book, a Cole is a vet. And I researched, there's one scene where he delivers a foal. And I researched that. I went online equine magazines and you know, look things up, the details about delivering a foal. I watch several YouTube videos about a foal being born, that sort of thing. And then afterwards, once I'd written the scene, I sent it to a large animal veterinarian that I know who deals with equine medicine, and sent it to him to make sure I had gotten the details right. And he said, yeah, it was okay. I guess I did okay with it. But I work for a Veterinary Medical Association, and the Provincial Veterinary Medical Association here. So I know a number of veterinarians and veterinary technicians. So it's very handy that way. The rest of the series, there's going to be people who work in the veterinary clinic as well. So I'm sure I'll use their services again.
Yeah, and this is listed as book one in the series. You mentioned that it's the Masonville series. So how many books are you envisioning?
I'm looking at four at the moment. I can clearly see four books at the moment. I don't know, you know, I'm leaving myself open though in case inspiration arises and I want to tell someone else's story. You know how as you add more people into the story world, there might be someone who triggers my imagination and whose story I want to tell. So four at the moment, but leaving myself open for further books.
Okay. And whose story will you be telling next?
Right now, I'm working on book two, and I'm telling Garrett's story. Garrett is Lauren's brother, and his love interest is going to be Blair. She moves into Masonville to work at the veterinary clinic, and she also takes over her grandfather's farm. Her mother grew up in Masonville, though Blair didn't. Her mother grew up there, and she's sort of coming back home.
Let me go ahead and jump in here so we can take our second and final break of the podcast. When we come back, we'll be talking about some of the other genres that Jana writes in and some of her other series. So stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, and I will be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be, visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Book Review Podcast. We're just going to go ahead and jump right into the conclusion of my interview with Jana Richards.
You are also a multi-genre author. These are contemporary romance, but I know you write some historical fiction, some paranormal romance. Can you talk about some of your other books?
I really like variety. And I like to read all different kinds of genres in romance fiction. So I also like to write different kinds of romance. Even in a kind of straight contemporary romance, I will sometimes throw in a bit of the paranormal, like I did with the series I self-published last year, the Love at Solace Lake series. In every one of those books, one of the sisters has a point where she sees the ghost, we think it's a ghost, of her dead mother. So I just wanted to throw a little something in there because I just find it fascinating. And romantic suspense. I love romantic suspense. I've only written a couple of them, but it's something I really want to pursue in the future. I just love that element of danger or mystery in a story. And one of my favorite time periods and genres to write in at the moment is historical set during World War II. I've always been fascinated with World War II and the events surrounding it. There's just so many stories connected with the war and so many real life love stories. I had a wonderful time actually researching in that area. One of the novellas I wrote was about Canadian war brides coming to Canada after the war, and that was absolutely fascinating. I really enjoyed doing that, and I definitely want to write more stories set in that era, for sure.
Mm-hmm. You're working on book two of the Masonville series. Yes. Are you working on anything else right now? That's probably a load. Well, you're probably thinking, isn't that enough? But are you working on anything else?
Well, I always seem to have a few books kind of half done. I'm not quite sure what to do with them at the moment. But yeah, I do actually have another series that I started a while ago and haven't quite finished yet. It sort of combines all of the genres that I love. There's a little bit of contemporary romance, there's some time travel, going back to World War II again, and a bit of course, the paranormal, time traveling, so, yeah, a bit of historical, a bit of contemporary. The gist of that story is, at least the first book in the series, is that an angel... A man died. He's told that he, to get his wings, become a full-fledged angel, he has to show someone, he has to show three people how to get back to love. They lost their love at one point in their life, and he has to help them get back to it. And, once he does, he will be admitted into heaven and, you know, be a full-fledged angel. So his first assignment is to find Frank, who's an old man, old man in a nursing home. And he takes him back to World War II, to the Normandy invasion in 1944. And to the English woman that he fell in love with at that point, back then. And so, not quite sure where I'm going with this story yet, but I love it. One of these days, I'm going to finish it. So
yeah, but waiting for the characters to tell you where they're going.
Yeah, kind of. And there's also a lot of, I think I got stuck on one point of actual historical, the way things actually happened back in the day, and I haven't made my way around it yet. So I'm working on that, or I will work on that at some point, and then everything will sort of fall into place, I think. But for now, I'm concentrating on this series, the Masonville series, and I'm hoping also, as I was saying, last year I wrote or published three self-published books, the Love at Solace Lake series, and And there's a couple of people in that series that I really want to tell their stories still. And especially one young man named Drew. And I really want to tell his story. It's been bugging me since I was writing the other books. So hopefully I will get back to that as well. There's, you know, so many books and so little time.
Right. You've been writing for a while, obviously. When did you start writing? Was it something that you've always wanted to do?
I probably started writing in the early 90s. Didn't do very well. I mean, I submitted quite a few books, but was never really... I got a lot of nice rejection letters, that's about it. But I think I had to learn my craft. I wasn't there yet. So I really got serious about writing probably mid-2000s. And my first book was published in 2006. I think it went to market in 2007. And at that point, I really started to take things seriously. I spent more time at it. I treated it more like a job and than a hobby. And like I said, really got serious about it. But talked about it more for a starter. I didn't hardly ever told anyone that I even wrote up to that point. But, you know, I just had to get over myself and take it seriously.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I did at one point way back. I thought I wanted to be a journalist, and I really would have liked to do that. In fact, I didn't think I had what it took to be a fiction writer. I remember taking a class in university on creative writing, and I totally sucked. I thought I was terrible. We had to write a short story, and everybody else's seemed a lot better than mine. So.
Oh, no.
I ruled out fiction writing for a very, very long time. So this is something that hit me probably not until my late 30s that I really, the bug to write really started to hit me.
So then out of your experience, would you have advice for aspiring authors?
Don't give up, for a starter. If this is something you really want to do, and you really have to want it, because it's a lot of work, a lot of commitment. Don't give up. Keep trying to learn your craft, and do that by writing every day or as much as you can. Do that by taking classes, by going to conferences and learning from other writers. And mostly I think you learn it by reading. Most writers are big readers. Good reason. That's how you learn. You learn from the best. Take what other writers have done and not copy, but emulate. You know, discover what they do, what works in their stories.
Okay. And when you do take the time to read, what do you have favorite genres, favorite authors?
Oh yeah. I love historical novels set in like Regency or Victorian England. I read a lot of those. I don't think I could ever write one, but I love those books. So I read a number of those, and I'm looking at them here on my shelf. A lot of those, some of my favorite writers are Mary Balog, Sally McKenzie, Joanna Lindsay, Lisa Kleffis, Joe Beverly, Jude Devereaux, and quite a few there. I really like romantic suspense, like I said, and Suzanne Brockman's one of my favorites there. Nora Roberts for suspense. And contemporary. I read a lot of contemporary too. Some of my favorites right now are Susan Mallory, Jill Shelvis, Nora Roberts again. I mean, too many to even see. I really do have a lot of favorites, so I try to read as widely as I can.
Okay.
There's always favorites that you want to read over and over and over again. I think that's true for most readers.
Yes. All right. Thank you for that. I know you have a website, so if you can tell people your website and where they can find you on social media.
Yeah, my website is janarichards.com, and I also blog a fair bit at janarichards.blogspot.com. Also, I blog on a group blog called The Word Wranglers, wordwranglers.blogspot.com. I blog with some friends there, some writing friends. We have a lot of fun there. If you go to my website, I have all my social media icons there, like Facebook, Twitter, Goodreads, that sort of thing, BookBub. You can find all of my contact information there at janarichards.com.
Okay, thank you so much. So we've talked about quite a few things in terms of writing and your books, but is there anything that you wanted to mention that we haven't covered?
I think the one thing I wanted to say is that I love to hear from people. That would be great. Me a shout out through my website. The other thing I wanted to talk about was about emotion in books. That's what I really strive for when I write. That's what I appreciate when I read a book. So I'm always striving to make readers feel something. You know, to feel the betrayal. In this series, I want them to feel the agony of past traumas. I want my readers to connect to my characters through emotion. I guess the other thing I wanted to say, if someone had never heard of me before, and they probably haven't, I want to give them an opportunity to try one of my books. So I do have a romantic comedy free online. You can find it at any bookstore. It's called Rescue Me, or you can find it on my website. If you go to janarichards.com/books.html, you can find Rescue Me. Like I said, it's a contemporary romantic comedy. And I call it book one in my Victorian Mansion series because the books take place in a Victorian mansion in Toronto. And if you like that book, there is a second in the series. It's called Take a Chance on Me. And you can either buy that book, or if you sign up for my monthly newsletter, I give it to you for free. So that one's called Take a Chance on Me. And I hope readers will take a chance on me and give it a whirl.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you. And thank you so much for taking time to talk with me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, it was wonderful to have you on the podcast. And so the book, again, is Child of Mine. It's the first in the Masonville series. And looking forward to the second one. I kind of thought maybe that's where you were going with her brother as the next, you know, that he might make an appearance. So I'm intrigued to find out more about his story.
I haven't settled on a name for the book yet, but I'm thinking a better man at this point.
Okay. Well, I'm looking forward to that, and thank you again.
Thank you.
Thank you so much again to Jana for taking the time out of her weekend to talk to me about her book, the first in the Masonville series, Child of Mine, as well as some of her other books and just thoughts on writing and reading and all of that great stuff that I love to hear about from my authors. So thank you so much to Jana. Thank you, as always, to my listeners for joining me. I hope you'll join me next time. But before we get to that, I did mention at the beginning that this is a book I have copies to give away. So if you are interested in some great contemporary romance set in a small town, then you should definitely sign up for a chance to win a copy of Child of Mine by Jana Richards. It's very easy to do. All you have to do is go to our social media pages, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and comment on the post with episode 140, Interview with Jana Richards. That's it. Go to those pages, Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, and comment. Please like and share and all of that, retweet, all that good stuff as well. But in order to enter the giveaway, you do have to leave a comment. So share, tweet, do all that good stuff. Like, but also comment, because this is a great book and you should definitely check it out. So please enter that giveaway and you know, leave comments too. I love to hear from you. Thank you again so much for joining me. Thank you again to Jana. I hope you all will join me again on Thursday when I've got some great children's books that I will be talking about. So stay tuned for that. Stay tuned and then also tune in. Join me on Thursday. In the meantime, no matter what your weather, no matter what your skunk situation, I hope that you have some time this week to get yourself lost in a good book. Thanks.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Book Review Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. From movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.